With President Trump's attack on NFL players, all the natural disasters, another deadline for a health care bill, it's easy to forget there are several investigations going on into Russian meddling in the election. So let's get caught up with NPR's national security editor, Phil Ewing. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Robin.
Start with Paul Manafort, the former Trump campaign chair, longtime consultant with Russian-backed clients like Ukraine's deposed president. Start with the Washington Post report that Manafort offered to brief an oligarch with close ties to the Kremlin on Trump's campaign. What to make of that?
That's according to materials that have apparently been given to the investigations taking place in Congress from the Trump campaign and the Trump organization. What the Post reported is that during the thick teeth of the campaign last year, Manafort was communicating with people who could communicate with this Ukrainian billionaire, Oleg Deripaska, who had been a client of his in years past, saying if he's curious about what's going on in the campaign from the Trump perspective, because Manafort was Trump's campaign chairman at the time, then we can arrange a private briefing. We understand that no briefing actually took place, but the Post report substantiates these more general comments we've heard from people in the past, especially former intelligence officers who say there's a great deal of correspondence between people in Trump's orbit and people who are in Russia or connected with the Russian leadership structure. This appears to just be one example of that that has at last risen to the surface.
Right. And what about the reporting this week that Manafort was the subject of two FISA warrants? CNN broke this story, saying that the FBI or other spy agencies had wiretapped Manafort. But the Wall Street Journal said it might not have been a wiretap. What's going on there?
The discrepancy between the two reports is what type of surveillance might have been taking place and when. CNN said that Manafort might have been subject to U.S. surveillance as far back as 2014 because of some work his company was doing on behalf of Ukrainian clients, which then stopped and then started back up again because, according to CNN, federal law enforcement officials or counterintelligence officials thought that there might be some case to start it back up again. The Journal's take was a little bit different. It said that the surveillance took place after the election, and that it didn't necessarily include what we think of from TV as wiretapping, where there's guys in a pizza truck outside your house with headphones on listening to you live in real time talking on the phone. It might have just involved them working with carriers like Verizon or another such provider to get phone records or emails after the fact. And what it boils down to is we don't know officially with any authority what might have been taking place. This is one of those situations where the story is kind of a truth vacuum. The U.S. government won't make any comment about this. Manafort's camp won't make any definitive comment about this. And so all we have to go on are these press reports with no authoritative narrative about what's actually taking place here.
Well, sticking with those reports, what about the reporting that the Manafort's home was raided by FBI agents in late July? You know, that they picked the lock, they woke up Manafort and his wife. Seems pretty extreme. Is this about Manafort? I mean, what's the thinking about the significance of what seems to be, you know, Special Counsel Robert Mueller leaning on him?
Well, we know from the Justice Department and the FBI that FBI agents did execute this search warrant against his home outside of Washington in July. That definitely did take place. The New York Times story that went into detail about it recently had those new little nuggets that the FBI agents were authorized not to knock. They picked his lock so they could walk in without alerting him. They apparently subjected Manafort and his wife to a search like they might do if they suspected they were carrying weapons or might have had contraband in the house. And according to the New York Times, the Justice Department Special Counsel Robert Mueller warned Manafort that we've got the goods on you and we're planning to indict you. Now, we don't know all that authoritatively from Mueller's people or from the Justice Department. That's just per the New York Times. But it definitely sent the message, according to this New York Times story, to Manafort that he's a main target of this investigation. Manafort has a long history of doing business on behalf of foreign clients who want to improve their image in the United States or get access to power brokers in Washington. And those included Russians and Ukrainians, which was the original reason he had to step down as Trump's campaign chairman last year. And it is potentially the case that if there were relationships there between Russians who knew the Russian power structure as it was attacking the 2016 election, Manafort could have been a go-between for those people in Russia or Moscow and the Trump campaign, if in fact there was any collusion that took place between Americans and the Russians who were doing this interference. That's the allegation. None of that has since has so far been proven, but that's why Manafort is such a potential subject of interest to the FBI and the others who are investigating this case.
The congressional committees. But look, the Washington Post is reporting or interpreting this as, you know, Mueller kind of turning the screws on Manafort, hoping he'll cut a deal and flip against President Trump.
That's right. And what people in the legal world, in the prosecutorial world, have said, looking at this from the outside, is they found the aggressiveness that Mueller is using quite remarkable. He did this no-knock raid against Manafort. He's allegedly made other people in the Trump world a target of his investigations. He's required many current and former White House officials to get attorneys of their own to represent them as the special counsel investigation goes forward.
Yep.
And clearly, he's turning the screws to try and get people to say what they know. And if he can, he wants to get them to talk about the people who are above them in the campaign chain of command or the White House chain of command, and, as it were, climb the ladder to try to get as far up as he possibly can.
End it right there. We're caught up. Phil Ewing, NPR's national security editor, thank you.
Thank you.